My victory is not earned. My victory is not deserved. It's received. It's received and paid for by the blood of my Son. So receive. Walk in victory. Walk in victory. Trust in victory. Believe in victory. Look to victory. Look to victory. Look to victory. Receive it, my children. Receive it. Receive it. Hold on to it. It's yours. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let your knees get feeble and your legs get weary. Don't let your heart be disheartened or your courage be discouraged. Be strengthened and know this fight is not yours. Victory has already been given to you. The battle's already been won. Walk. Walk with me and trust me. The waves of pressure of defeat and discouragement that have hit you and wave after wave of discouragement and defeat that are trying to teach you that you are defeated. They are lies. Walk through them. Don't listen to them. Don't receive the emotions of them, but walk through them and hold on to what I have already given to you. The victory, the devil and the enemy have already been defeated. Your battle's not with them. Walk towards me and follow me. So taraba sinderebo sandaraba sitarebo shatareye. Shondoraba satarabo sandaraya. Shandaraba sitere boko sandara sitere boye sitere. Jendere bo satarabo sata. I'm not a man that I can lie. You know, you know the words that I've given to you, the ones that you know are from me. Filter through the papers of prophecies and words, and you know which ones are in your heart that I've spoken to you. Do you think I can lie? I cannot lie. So don't believe what's around you. Don't believe the the lies of the enemy. He's the father of lies. My truth, my word that I've spoken to you, the personal words that you hold on to, they're truth. They're truth from your Father. Hold on to them. Hold on tightly to them. Because that is where you will be if you follow me. Don't slow down. There is no other way. Just my way. That's it. So when you feel and are overwhelmed with wonder and defeat or failure or thoughts of failure, just remember what I've spoken to you. Remember those times of intimate words that my heart has spoken to your heart, and the prophecies that have been spoken to you in the past that were personal to you. They're not just words on a paper. They're my word. They're my truth. So you can hold them as truth and believe in them as truth. The time for rejoicing and for smiling and for happiness is not tomorrow, it's right now. This is the time to rejoice. This is the time to be excited and encouraged. Because my truth is truth today as it will be tomorrow. So don't wait for tomorrow to happen before you get excited and rejoice and trust and are at peace. And be excited and rejoice today, because tomorrow will come, but it's already here. It's already done. My word is truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Shotoro basitara basatara basitarai. Shondoro basitara basitara. I long for the time that the world can see my heart and my love for them. I ache for them to see my love . Please continue to follow. Please continue to trust me. I long for the moment of my power to flow. I long for that moment. The world will see me, not just through words, but through my power being displayed. There are many, many mighty signs and wonders coming. I will show you. I'll surprise you. For even what you think you know is not close enough to what I know and what I want to do through you and for you. Believe in big things. Believe in great things. Believe in the miraculous. That's where I live. That's normal to me. And it will be normal to you. He just spoke to my heart that there's a grace here, an empowerment from Him for you. I know there's all of us in this room, but I know there's many people hidden. That's the word I heard, hidden. Hidden in rocks and hidden in caves around the world who follow God on this message, and they feel hidden. But there's a grace here for us, for all of us. Man, emphasizing the word miraculous. It's like the healing is the children's bread, you know, when you're having breakfast and you say, "Mama, can you pass the bread?" And you eat that bread. That's how healing's supposed to be. This, that easy, that normal, the miraculous is to be that normal and that easy for us to walk in every day, to live in every day. It's shocking the other way, you know. When something doesn't happen, we get shocked. But there's a grace here for us. I'm telling you this. That wave, I saw a wave of discouragement and wave of despair that just crashing against your emotions. You know, I'm preaching to myself a little bit here, so that's all right. But just wave after wave. And you know, I remember when I was on a beach in Hawaii one time, and I decided to go bodyboard surfing. But it was a rougher beach than I realized, and I got caught up a wave. And man, I'd get hit, and I'd stand up, and it hit, another one would hit me, and then the tide would pull my feet out, and I'd get up. And I swear all the Hawaiians are sitting laughing at me. None of them came to help me. They just laughed at me. And, you know. But that's what I saw there a little bit ago. It's like a wave washes through your mind. And as it passes through, it leaves that discouragement and despair in your emotions. And then you keep walking. And another one comes. And another one comes. And it's trying to train us that that is how we live. We have a Father that's indifferent to us. But there's a grace here tonight, because God can undo what the devil's done. The devil could take years to do something and plan something. You know, there's not a war in heaven anymore between God and the devil. The devil is not divine. He's an angel. He's a cherubim. He's a fallen angel. God knows what the devil's going to do before the devil knows what he's going to do. So in a moment, he can wash us. If there's waves of discouragement that's hit you and waves of despair that's hit you, well, there's a wave of grace about to hit you that'll wash. And it'll leave hope and strength and victory and thoughts of victory and thoughts of miraculous and thoughts of your future and thoughts of your calling and thoughts of your family and finances and all those things instead of the other way around. So if that's you, which I'm standing already, so I'm in agreement to receive this myself. But if that's you, why don't you stand with me tonight and let's just receive this grace. It's not earned. Funny thing with God is you don't have to be strong. You just have to be humble. He's the strong one. It's not a... He corrected me a little bit there. And you don't... It's okay to stand. Just stay where you are, but... It's almost like he said, you don't need to stand and receive it as a gift. Like I'm blessing you. Like, okay, I'm going to bless you today. It was like the image he gave me was... you can kneel in this, and you know, I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm just the imagery is you can kneel in this, and receive it in humility, not as a gift, but as expected ammunition or armament, that it's not a gift, it's not a blessing, this grace is should be expected as a knight comes and kneels and is knighted. That is the act of humbling yourself to receive this is expected. It's the empowerment. It's on purpose. And you and I can receive it on purpose. So Father, we thank you now. We expect it not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because Jesus has earned it. And because of that, we receive it freely, expecting it. We expect a grace to be our strength to walk through everything the enemy throws against us. We expect prosperity to be on our shoulders, and we expect miracles and healing and deliverance to be in our life unearned, not because we're special, not because we've done more or know more. It's because we know you. So we receive this grace tonight. Expectantly, I receive it not as a gift or a blessing, but as it's mine because you said so. This belongs to me because you said so. And I take it and I will walk through everything and I will move discouragement from my heart and disappointment from my heart. I will remove it and replace it with strength and hope and victory. Father, your grace now is our strength, and we receive it tonight. Jesus' name. I receive it tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Command that discouragement and despair to get out of our hearts right now. to loose its roots from our hearts in Jesus' name. Can you sing a song for us? Just lead us in a little song. Just take a moment with us, if you would. Part of the job of discouragement is to get your heart to let go of God's word, God's direction, what He's spoken to you, what He's showing you, and I'm talking to you individually. I'm okay with us looking as a body towards things. God's called the prayer center for revival, but that's never as important as you, what He's spoken to you. Because you can hide in that and say, well, yeah, that'll happen when... But you, He's spoken to you things. And discouragement comes and despair to get your heart, and it's not a thought process, it's an emotional... You know, your emotions lie a lot. Don't ever look at yourself by your emotions, because they're probably lying. Scripture doesn't tell you to have a good self-image. It tells you to have a Christ image. But that discouragement comes to get your heart to let go of the word that He's shown you, the promises He's shown you specifically for your family, for your calling, for your finances, for your body, for your future, and for your heart to let go of Him and to put it back into your hands. We call it Plan B. How can I accomplish something for God? I'm called to this, so I should do this. And we try in our soul, our natural soul, to maneuver, to make a way for our future. And it's really because there's been a distrust, a lack of trust to what He told you. That and where the root of it for most of us is we just don't believe He loves us that much. Or we don't believe He believes in us that much. You know, let me just say this. It's okay for you not to believe in yourself. Because you failed yourself enough times. Don't ask me how I know. Gary's told me stories. So. But why don't you believe in Him believing in you? Put your hope in there. Put your hope in Him believing in you, because He believes in you. Elijah, he failed with old Jezebel. So God took him and told him, I'm going to have you train your replacement. And his replacement's name was Elisha. You know the story, maybe? It's in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So Elijah, out of obedience, says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. When Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Now say mantle. The mantle is what the prophet wore. Now, the prophet Elijah was not like what we call prophets today. today, you know. The prophet was a position. It was, if Prophet Elijah walked in, we would all stop and stand at attention. And he wore a mantle. The mantle was a, like a coat that he wore. Say mantle. And it said Elijah passed by him. Now Elisha was plowing. He was working. And he was with 12 yokes of oxen. And he was with 12. So he was plowing away. When Elijah walked or passed by him and threw his mantle on him. So let's say this is the mantle that Elijah wore. This is what everyone, when I walked in as Elijah, I had my mantle. This is what symbolically showed me as the prophet of God. And it says that he passed by him and threw the mantle through it. Now remember Jesus. Jesus, when he called the disciples, they were fishermen, they were tax collecting, they were doing their thing. And when Jesus came up to him, he did it similar. See, the calling comes not in negotiations. It's not a negotiation. It's a calling. It's a passing by. It's a now. It's a moment. Jesus walked up to Matthew. He was working on his tax collecting desk. And Jesus walked up to Matthew and said, "Follow me." And Matthew had to decide. Not negotiate. Not, well, am I ready? Me? What do I have? Who am I? Walked up to Peter out there fishing and pulled up this boat. They look up and here comes Jesus, you know. Walks up and says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And Peter had to go, abandon his own. There's an abandonment of your own ability in this life to try to give something to God. So all religion is in that place of you giving something to God that you made. That's what religion is. You getting to live and serve God. So Elijah walked up to Elisha with the mantle. And it says he passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Now, read what it says here. Look. Verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha the son Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He was with the 12th. So he was out there in the field working. And look, then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And look what's next. And he left his oxen and what? Ran after Elijah. Elijah didn't just say, psst, I need to talk to you. The Lord gave me a word for you. You know, in the parking lot, I want to just tell you what God showed me. No. This is a calling. It says Elijah walked by him, threw his mantle at him. And Elisha had to leave it all and run after Elijah. He left the oxen and ran after him, verse 20, Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" See, that's a man who's laid his life down for God, saying, "You're called. What have I done to you? Your life is not your own." So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. And Elisha, we call that burning our bridges, you know. No going back, no plan B. How many are living in that right now? You feel that. Like, I've been praying. I feel stripped and stripped. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have. I used to know. I used to know my calling before I started praying in tongues. Now I don't even know what I'm doing. The power to make your calling come to pass. To make yourself acceptable for provision, acceptable for being usable. You're not able to do that. The offering we have is killing ourselves. Says, then he rose and followed Elijah, became his servant for, they say, 20 years. 20 years. How long does it take for a man to give up his right, his power? Elisha was 20 years. I don't think it took 20 years because God timed it, or 20 years because Elijah was holding on. I think it took 20 years because Elisha took that long. You know, some of us, we know the message of dying pretty good, but we got, you know, we're holding on to some things. Like, we got this half-dead part of us we drag around. And, you know, you can smell it. You sit next to someone, you're like, you know, you talk, someone's rotten in here, you know. And you talk to them, and you can hear the bitterness or the anger come out, or out of the mouth. And you're like, you know, just go ahead and die, okay? Just die. We like to make excuses, you know. We like to make reasonings. Blame everyone. Blame our past or pastor. Blame our future. Blame God. Blame, you know. It's okay. Just die. What Elijah did after he gave Elisha the mantle was he came and he took it back. Because it said Elijah, the prophet, walked, and Elisha was his servant. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is how the Lord taught me about how he wanted to promote me in my life. Where promotion comes from. Because if you take it into your own power to do good things for God, to do your calling, to fulfill your calling. You try to build things. Say build. You become a builder, a gatherer of people. If you're a preacher, you try to gather as many people as you can to hear you. My God, I'm supposed to be a preacher and there's no one to preach to. Welcome to praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues, you do a lot of preaching to mirrors and walls and mops. If you're a prophet, I got to find someone to prophesy to. I love little prophets trying to prophesy. They just can't hold back. You know, they just got to try to gotta find somebody to tell something to. Just go ahead and die. And it came to pass, chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Kings. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into the world, into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here." Elisha, will you come and help me today? Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. So Elisha, who had been with Elijah for 20 years, Elijah said, "Stay here. I'm going to Bethel." Normally, he probably would. But he said, "I'm not leaving your side." Now, you may think it's because he loved him. You may think it's because he was just a good servant. But I can tell you why. Because he gave him the mantle. But then he took it back. When you're called, God gives you the mantle. And then when you say, "Yes, sir. Yes, I'll do it. I'll be your preacher. I'll be your prophet. I'll be your entrepreneur. I'm your missionary. That's me." He says, "All right." And he takes it back. Says, "Follow me. Let's go." Like, "What? You said I'm going to be a preacher, a prophet, Where's my millions and billions of dollars? I'm ready." Elijah saw the mantle. He said, "I'm not letting that out of my sight." See, because the mantle in the Old Testament was the position of power for your job. The New Testament, we don't have mantles. We have something similar. It's called promotion. It's grace. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel, verse 3, came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away..." Wait, I got to do that in the right prophecy. "Thus saith the Lord. Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you over today?" And Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." So they walked to Bethel, and there was a prophet school. And all the prophets came over to Elisha. Because God, they saw and told Elisha, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take away your master today?" And Elisha said, "I know. I know." Keep silent. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. Please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets, verse 5, who were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? These are prophet school prophets. So he answered, yes, I know, keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Well, let me go to the Jordan. Verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets. You can be trained and taught, but it doesn't mean you get the job. Building is man's way of promotion, not God's way. Oh, that's a good message right there. I could preach that for a while. Verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle. Oh, wait, verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So 50 of the sons of the prophets were watching at a distance, and Elijah rolled up his mantle, struck the Jordan River, and the two of them walked over on dry ground. We're going to see some of this stuff in our miraculous future. Now, verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Now stop right there. Pastor Dave, how many times in a prayer line have people come to you and said, I want double portion of that anointing? Please, just I want what you have. The problem is, a man can't give you something that they didn't create. So when Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing, he's not saying, this is going to be hard for me to do for you, son. What he's saying is, if you want double what I have, get ready for a hard road. You've asked a hard thing for yourself to have double what I have. There's a cost of death to have what God wants you to have. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Verse 10. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw them no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah and fallen that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now just stay right there, Elisha, for me. The hope of your calling, the accomplishments of victory, I guess, or how do I get to the place that God is using me or including me in my calling? How do I get there? I don't see it. I remember when I was carrying the books and tapes, and we set up books and tapes at every church. It'd take me an hour to set up the displays. We had 18 feet of table. So three 6-foot tables set up with videos and audios and books. And some churches you go to, you can always tell the ones that they didn't care much. I'd be out sweating and carrying a dolly full of crates, and people would be talking and mingling, and I'd be trying to open the door with my foot and sweating. And you know, the first time was okay, but you think the second and fifth and 20th time they might open the door for you, but they just all look at you. And then some churches, you didn't even get to, they'd run out and you wouldn't even get to carry anything. They, oh, we got you, brother. We love you. Just sit right there. We know you're working. We want to help. I could kiss those guys right there. Thank you. Then you meet the pastors. There's always pastors you can tell who had a heart of a servant. You could tell because they included you. You were nobody. I was nobody. I was just helping. But you didn't feel like that. You didn't feel like the help. You didn't feel like you. They included you. I appreciated that. Then I had other pastors, and they come in and look at me like I was just a book boy. Yeah, where's the book boy? Hey, book boy. Excuse us, out of the way. I remember one time I was so mad. I thought, when I get big time, I'm not coming to preach at your church. Yeah, I was a little young punk a little bit. But I get frustrated because I knew that, I had preached, I had been preaching, and God had put me in this position to serve in this manner, and no one knew I could preach. No one knew I had already had miracles in our services, and no one knew that. And I wanted to tell that I'm not a book boy. I'm more than a book boy. And they looked at you like just a book boy. The path for God's promotion doesn't come with building. It doesn't come with gathering. It comes with obedience. And only with obedience. And only with laying your life down. When I first started to preach, I'd ask every preacher, because one of my earlier things they'd asked me to do was to drive all the preachers from the airport to the meetings. And I'd ask every preacher, I'm just curious, how do you start your ministry? How do you, your preacher, how do you begin? And I heard so many ideas. Well, first of all, you need to, go to a convention and get to know pastors and hand out cards and let them know you're a preacher. You need to go gather people. You need to let them know, hey, I'm having a meeting. Come. Will you come to my meeting? The way you build a ministry is you go get people to listen to you so you can win them over, and then they're yours. You have to have an audience. One guy said, well, you go to a town and you open up the phone book and look at all the Word of Faith churches and call them and drop some names and tell them you're in town. He said, usually 1 out of 10 will have you preach. And then when you preach, you say, Pastor, how did I do? Was it good? You liked it? It's anointed? Good. Can you recommend another pastor for me that might like my ministry? Yes. Can I tell him you recommended me? Okay, thank you. And just none of that clicked. I've been praying in tongues already for a while. And it just, thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost, because it will capture you from building. So you may try, but it'll always bring you back. And then I remember asking, I remember saying, Pastor Dave, I'm just curious, how do you book meetings? He said, huh? What? What do you mean? You know, how do you, he said, Alan, if they're not calling you, God doesn't want you preaching. Well, that was it. That's what I settled with. Okay. It's not my job to go build my ministry. It's not my job to build my calling. It's not my job to fulfill my calling. I remember with a feeling like a book boy. God's really tough when you let him. When you let him lead you, he'll make a man out of you in a good way. You know, he'll make a woman out of you, healthy. Not a baby, not self-centered, not selfish. Not bitter, not jealous. Not gossipy, not complaining-y. Because I had to walk through all those things. All those emotions rise up. I'm not a book boy. I'm more than a book boy. And this is what he taught me. He taught me this Elisha took 20 years and was the servant of Elijah. And I remember just that self-pity day, you know. Because you have those days where you don't think you're ever going to make it. Those days of, I'm just worthless. I'm never going to make it. You know, when those days come, just hold on. Fight through it, because there'll be another day soon that says, I want to change the world. I can do this. Emotions are fake. Don't ever look at yourself by emotions. Just look at how God looks at you. That's all you have to remember. You don't have to believe in yourself. Just believe that he believes in you. So 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's see if I can find it here. It's verse 11. So this is after Elijah had gone up in the whirlwind. And look at verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So Jehoshaphat asks the question in his chambers. Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. Who what? Was he the junior prophet? No. Was he the prophet in training? No. What did they know him as? Elijah's replacement? No. When they looked at him, they said, there's Elijah. Elisha, the son of Shaphat here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's why the sons of the prophets came up to him and said, do you know your master is going up in the whirlwind? It's like they come up to him, pat him on the head. Do you know that your master, they probably talked real slow too. Your master is coming, going up in a whirlwind to heaven. Yes, I know. I'm not a water boy. No. God shows me things. You don't have to preach to be a preacher. If you're called to one, you're on the road to it. You don't have to preach to be a preacher. You don't have to prophesy to be a prophet. You don't have to be rich to be rich. Just follow him and it will come to pass. Because look what happened. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. See, this is what you and I are after. That moment of promotion that God says, now's your time. Now you know it's not you, it's me. Elijah went up in the whirlwind, and it says he dropped his mantle. Elisha came over. He knelt down a water boy, and he stood up a prophet. That's how quick promotion comes. Not by our power, not by our ability, not by our schemes or plans, but by Him. Now I'm going to pause there and just say this. It doesn't excuse us from, well, as He begins to give you things, you still have to steward them. Some of you are waiting for $1 billion before you want to show that you're an entrepreneur. Well, start with what He's given to you. Stewarding is not building. Stewarding is stewarding what He has already given to you. Elisha became the prophet because of the mantle. But it didn't happen until he came to a place of death of himself. Don't get discouraged. Don't let despair encourage you to grab hold of those reins of your life again. You don't have to be prophesying to be a prophet. If you're called to be a prophet, then you are already on the road there. And when the time comes, you'll have what you need. You don't have to build your financial kingdom if you're going to be a multi-billionaire entrepreneur for the gospel. You have to obey Him. And when the time comes, you'll have what you need. You don't have to preach to be a preacher. If you're called to be a preacher, you're already a preacher. But when the time comes for that mantle, that despair comes to get you to quit believing that He believes in you, to get you to figure it out. I can't tell you how many people came to me with plans. Now, if you ever hear this, now God gave me this, or I have this idea to make some money. And I want to make some money so that I can pray more. And when I preach, I won't have to take up offerings. So it's a great opportunity. So I'm going to go do this opportunity to make some money. But it's for the kingdom's sake. That never works. What works is God told me. So I'm going to do what He told me to do. That works. We never make a decision. Listen. We should never make a decision out of opportunity or out of frustration. Only out of the voice of God. Our life is not ours. It's His. I'm kind of preaching off what I prophesied, what was prophesied earlier. You know. Rejoice. Rejoice now. Because everything you need for your calling is already there. It may not be in your hands, but it's already there. So I hope you're encouraged. One day, if you feel like a water boy, or a book boy, or a mama's boy, don't get discouraged. It may seem like it's never going to happen. Why do I have this calling and this dream, and it doesn't seem? I'm faithful to what He's told me to do. I'm faithful to the message of praying and growing on the inside. I'm faithful to these things. Why do I not see it come to pass? I don't know who preached it. One of these guys over here, Gary or Mark preached it, I think it was. I didn't hear the message, but I heard the comment, and it's so powerful. He said, even if you take the tiniest flame of flesh, tiniest, well, let me say, I'm not sure, I hope I say this right, but the tiniest flame of self, of pride or greed, the tiniest flame, tiny little flame, and you pour gasoline on it, it's still going to explode. Sometimes we think we're dead and we're not. I'm already dead, God. There's nothing left to kill. Come on. Don't be afraid of Him. He believes in you. That's why He's asking you to go through these things, because He believes in you. Amen? Amen. Let's keep praying in tongues. Amen? Amen? Hour after hour. All right. Why don't you stand? We'll close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your grace that's on us. We receive it. It's ours. It's not a blessing. It's not a mercy gift. It's ours. It's our equipment to walk through everything this world throws at us. Everything the devil throws at us. Everything our flesh and our emotions argue with us. We have Your grace. And we will walk in our calling. Thank You that we're pursuing heaven and heavenly things and not earthly things. We thank You for it. And we believe that You believe in us. Say this with me. I believe that my Father believes in me. Amen. Amen. You are released. If you'd like prayer, I'll be happy to pray for you. God bless you.